Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
We are today officially 100 days into this administration, and we're excited that next week we're all going to be in stage together for our Politics and Pints. Politics and Pints, celebrating President Trump's first 100 days, will be in Phoenixville at the Colonial Theater Tuesday, May 6th. And you should be there and join us. All right. And what you want to do is you want to go to 1210WPHD.com right now and get your tickets. Nick, Dawn, Dom, me, all together on stage. And we'll have a lot of fun together. We'll take some questions. We'll have some laughs, make fun of people, maybe make fun of each other. It's certainly possible, especially if Kale wears sandals or flip-flops, because that's disgusting for a grown man to ever wear outside of a pool, aquatic environment, or beach. It's wrong every single way. And we have tickets to give away to Politics and Pints. Look at that. How do we do that?
I don't know. We haven't had a prize to give away in like 4 months, so wow. This is all new to us. I don't know how to react.
How about I think of a number?
Between 1 and 100?
And somebody has to guess which number I'm thinking.
Actually,
now, right now, corporate's freaking out because we have to put contest details in writing and you got to get it submitted to 18 lawyers and then has to get kicked back down and explain why that can't work and liability forms have to be signed. But that'd be fun, though. What number am I guessing between 1 and 100? The answer would obviously be 100. But Walter right now is having a heart attack just even hearing this. So
I like
probably
that
just going to have to do caller 10. What's that?
No, I like that contest. I think you should do it. I think you should pick a number between 1 and 100. We'll field some calls, and whoever gets closest out of, like, I don't know, 12 callers or something wins the tickets.
But the number's 100 because it's 100 days. I'm telling you what the number is. I'm saying what the number is.
Well, don't give it away.
Guess the number I'm thinking to celebrate the 100 days. 100. Yeah. So if you don't get that right, you don't deserve to come anyway. I mean, I guess at that point, but maybe we'll just do an old caller number 10 kind of deal.
Yeah, that's boring, but yeah, we can do that. Why not?
No, we'll do it later.
Yeah.
Just let's try not to forget it. James Carville is joining the Will Cain Show right now. Look at that. We should get the Raging Cajun on the show. Can you get him on?
Probably not, but I'll give it a shot.
I mean, he's going on everything these days. He's everywhere, James Carville. I'd love to talk to him.
All right, I'll put forth the effort. I'll see if we can get him.
All right, see if you can get him. That'd be fun. Because, I do think he's a very smart strategist. I think he's out of his friggin' mind, but I think he's a smart strategist. And I would just love to ask him what he thinks of the Democrats' antics and if he really thinks this is going to help them. Because this is the conversation that I had last night on the Ingraham angle with Laura Ingraham on Fox News last night. I know. Sorry, shameless plug. But we had this conversation about the Democrats and their antics. And I said, you know, the same thing with impeachment. Donald Trump ran on a very specific platform of what he was going to do. His campaign the last time around was very much on message about what he was going to do. And he's doing it. And the Democrats just running on screaming impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. and trying to derail everything, it's not going to work for them. Because the American people want answers to their problems. They want solutions. I'm not somebody who believes that government should be in the solutions business. However, government caused so many of the problems that we're dealing with in this country that you have to have government get rid of those problems that it created if we're going to have a better country. What I mean by that is DOGE, for example, in the first 100 days has uncovered massive amounts of redundancy, waste, fraud, just utter, absolute, drives me bonkers bureaucracy that should not be there. Those are government created problems. You know, when the FDA, for example, is out there saying things are safe, but they're really not, you got to wonder why the hell am I paying for an FDA? I'd rather just not have an FDA. I'd rather figure it out on my own than pay bureaucrats to not actually do any regulation. I mean, I don't need regulation. I don't need regulators telling me something's safe or not. But if I'm paying for that, then at least don't be in the pockets of the pharmaceutical industry, and then going to work for them when you decide to leave your government job. Otherwise, what the hell do we have you for? And I'd be fine with getting rid of them, all of them. The same thing with PBS, NPR. We don't need nationally public funded radio. I'd be fine with getting rid of that too. I want to get rid of all these things, but so much of what I'm describing here are government-created problems. The diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense that the government was spending money on, these are government-created problems. The border was a government-created problem because the previous administration did not enforce the law in stopping people from entering the country illegally, which is, in fact, the law. So they weren't enforcing that law. Therefore, that was the government creating a problem in, its lack of enforcement. But let's just be real here. People got tired of seeing a political party constantly going after their jobs. And they also got tired of seeing how much money was going out the door to Ukraine. Whether they wanted Ukraine to win or not, whether they thought Vladimir Putin was a bad guy or not, whether they just got tired of seeing $200 billion of their money going out the door to Ukraine, going into the pocket of the military-industrial complex. And they just turned around and said, look, I may support your cause here, but where's the end game in this? And there never was. There never was an end game because that was a scam. The scam was keep it going as long as possible and then keep making sure that all the military contractors who were getting paid to send the weapons that we were making here in America with people like Josh Shapiro, the Pennsylvania governor, signing those missiles bound for Ukraine. And that was the gig. And it was going to go on and on and on. I mean, if Kamala Harris were president right now, more money would be going to Ukraine. What we would be talking about, let's think about if it was Kamala Harris's first 100 days in office, what we would be talking about today. In all seriousness, we would be talking about a doubling down on the efforts in Ukraine with the United States of America. Probably, I'm not saying we would have troops engaged in a ground war, but we would have a bigger presence than we had when Joe Biden was president. We would have, because she said she was going to do these things, we would have increased the amount of money we were sending to Ukraine. If Kamala Harris were president right now, the border would still be a wide open mess. Absolutely. Same thing. It would be the same thing we had before, maybe worse. Very possible, could be worse. Title IX would right now say that biological men have to compete in women's sports. Biological men would have to be allowed to compete in women's sports, stay in their locker rooms, live in their sorority houses. That would be absolutely the law of the land right now. Not passed by Congress, but by the executive department, rewritten vis-a-vis executive fiat. There would be lawsuits against companies for lying to you about climate change, meaning that Kamala Harris's Department of Justice would be going after oil and natural gas companies, saying that they lied about the dangers of climate change and trying to get billions of dollars in restitution out of those companies. There'd also be a moratorium on fracking. Even though she said she wouldn't do that during the campaign, she flip-flopped so many times on that. I think you'd have to be an absolute idiot to think that she wasn't going to go through and go ahead with putting a moratorium on fracking. If Kamala Harris were president of the United States right now, there would be more diversity, equity, and inclusion, not less. There'd be a lot of that. It would be a problem in so many different ways for us. So that's where we're at. And I'm really glad President Trump is there. And I'm really glad that we can celebrate his 100 days and not Kamala Harris's first 100 days in office. You know, I'm watching James Carville right now talking about DNC Vice Chair David Hogg, and I'm seeing that he's saying that this guy is a disaster for the party by wanting to go after moderate, so-called moderate Democrats. So the Democrat civil war is happening, no doubt about that. But Pennsylvania would be in a really, really, really bad place if Kamala Harris were president. And I think the moratorium on fracking would be going in. But you know what? Let's welcome to the show the United States Senator for the great state of Pennsylvania, my friend Dave McCormick. Senator, it was great to see you and Dina yesterday at the White House.
Hey, Rich, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Did you have fun yesterday with the Eagles?
It was great. As you know, it was such a, I mean, that crowd was probably 800 people, right? It was so, it was so alive, and the team was great and so humble. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, and it was cool the president called you up to stand with the team. I thought that was really nice, really classy.
It was nice. He called me up, and then he invited me into the Oval Office, and I watched him greet each member of the team. He gave them each a coin, a president's coin. He took pictures behind the Resolute desk with every Eagle. It was a real show of respect for what they did, and I don't think the guys on the team could believe it.
Yeah, I bet. I'm sure. That's got to be one of those moments in your life. You're just pinch me kind of a thing. And
yeah, for sure.
I said pinch me that we were lucky enough to be there yesterday for it. And it was a beautiful day in Washington. It was great to see Dina. Let me ask you, you had a busy day, though. You started in Philadelphia yesterday, and then you raced up to D.C. for the event. So what were you doing in Philly with the Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy?
You know, we had a great visit to the Philly shipyard. As you know, a South Korean company has bought part of the Philly shipyard, Hanwha, and we toured their facility. They've got two dry docks there, and it was incredible. I mean, there's a huge strategic need to rebuild our shipbuilding capacity in the United States. China makes about 50% of ships globally. We make less than 1%. And so we've let our shipbuilding industry really decline. And President Trump has basically put forward a maritime executive order that has said we've got to create a shipbuilding capacity in the United States. And Philadelphia needs to be at the front of the line in terms of the investment in doing that, both in commercial LNG carriers, commercial ships, but also naval vessels. And this has been a big focus for me as well. I've visited the shipbuilding. I've visited Hanwha a couple times. You know, I'm very involved in the Congress in making sure that in this defense appropriations, we get significant investment in shipbuilding that will hopefully come to Philadelphia. So this is great for our national security. But the other thing, Rich, these are great jobs. There's about 1,500 people at the Philly shipyard now, mostly building trades. And if we're successful at really doubling or tripling the capability here, this could be 5,000-10,000 jobs, which would be amazing. And this is where South Korea is very advanced at shipbuilding. So they're bringing their technology and processes to the Philly shipyard. And the guys there, I mean, I probably met with 100 workers, shook their hands. I mean, they are fired up. These are craftsmen that have good paying jobs, and they see the opportunity for this to grow. And this is a way to take care of their families and have a great career.
That's excellent. That's really great news. You mentioned liquid natural gas export ships too. Is that the idea that something you've talked about before, Senator, which is really making that hub for liquid natural gas export a key area for Pennsylvania?
Absolutely. I mean, there's three big things we need to do as it relates to natural gas, maybe four. We need to improve the permitting to drill. We need to make it much easier. We need to have pipeline permitting that allows the pipelines to get it to the ports across state lines, because we have the fourth largest natural gas reserves in the world in Pennsylvania. It's like a treasure that people don't fully recognize. And then we need an LNG export facility, a port facility, which can be put in place in a very environmentally friendly way. There's new modular capabilities to be able to do that in a way that has a very low environmental footprint. But that would allow us to ship our natural gas to Europe, to Asia, and really open up the markets. By the way, the trade deals that President Trump's negotiating, at least some of them, I was just at lunch with Jameson, who's the trade representative. A number of them are looking at gaining, those trading partners are looking to import additional natural gas capability, LNG right. capability. So this is all part of building an ecosystem in Pennsylvania that takes advantage of our incredible natural resources. And it's not just a northeastern part of the state. It's not just a southwestern part of the state. The southeast should be the beneficiary of a lot of this investment.
Were you happy? I mean, I know you were happy when the president relaxed the regulations on coal. Obviously, coal is very important to Pennsylvania as well. We don't talk about it enough, at least in this part of the state, but it's huge in Pennsylvania. And easing those restrictions on coal, along with natural gas and then the liquid natural gas export facility, I mean, we're talking about something that is so incredibly important for the Commonwealth.
Well, I absolutely support all forms of energy. So nuclear, coal, natural gas, fossil fuels, wind, solar. I'm in favor of a comprehensive strategy that supports all forms of energy production. What I opposed in the campaign, and I'm still opposed to, are these hundreds of billions of dollars of subsidy on wind and solar, which drove up inflation and, you know, we're not economically sound. But for Pennsylvania, we're blessed. We need to embrace all forms of energy. And that is what's going to be necessary because energy demand is going to triple over the next 10 years because of the fact that this artificial intelligence, these big data centers, which are coming to Pennsylvania, they're going to be great sources of jobs. They're hugely demanding of energy. And so coal, nuclear, and natural gas are baseline energy sources. That you can always count on them, rain or shine, where solar and wind are intermittent. They depend on the weather and things outside your control. So you got to have coal, you got to have nuclear, you got to have natural gas. The other thing I'll say, Rich, and I always take an opportunity to say this because I said all the things I said about embracing coal and natural gas, that doesn't mean that I don't believe we should protect the environment. I'm an environmentalist. I'm a conservationist. I think we should reduce carbon emissions. And we're doing that. The natural gas revolution has allowed America to reduce its carbon emissions by 15% over the last decade while the rest right. of the world's growing.
Right. Yeah.
So our natural gas exported around the world is also the way to address climate change.
Yeah, no question about it. Senator Dave McCormick's with me. We're talking about President Trump's first 100 days, but I'm really interested in Senator Dave McCormick's first 100 days on the job. As our new senator, what are you most proud of so far? What's been the most eye-opening for you in your first 100 days in office?
Well, I'd say there's a couple things. I mean, I think my first 100 days is not a normal first 100 days because the president is doing so much. And we're at a moment where we have something very special, Rich. You understand this. I didn't understand it when I got here, but we're going through the reconciliation process. It's only happened four times in the last 100 years where the Republicans had the Senate, the House, and the White House. And that allows us to do some very significant things in terms of investing in new opportunities like the border wall or defense while dramatically reducing our cost. And what happens in reconciliation, all you need is a majority in the Senate, which, by the way, my vote, the 53rd Senate seat that I won is a big deal for us being able to get through these big changes. So it's like you're standing in a stream and the fish are just coming at you. It's like the salmon are coming up river. Every time I turn around, there's a new issue that you're trying to respond to. So that's one thing about the first 100 days. I'm proud that I've been able to focus on the things I promised. I introduced a fentanyl bill, my first bill, which was to bring together law enforcement to fight fentanyl, a fentanyl task force. And my co-sponsor is the second thing I'm proud of, which is John Fetterman, Senator Fetterman. He and I have found a way to collaborate. I basically say anybody who wants to work on things that's going to be good for Pennsylvania, I'm going to work with them, Democrat or Republican. I disagree with Senator Fetterman on a lot of things, but we agree on a lot of things too, and we're going to work together. I'm proud of that. I'm really honored and just delighted with the return of Mark Fogle. For me, that was the highlight of my 100 days. On the 22nd day that President Trump was in office, he negotiated, or his team negotiated, the release of Mark Fogle. And this was a very personal thing for me. I met his mom at Butler. So did President Trump the day the president was shot. His mom came to visit Dina and me in Squirrel Hill. And she told us, I don't think I'm ever going to see my son alive. So just as a moment to be able to stand in the White House and welcome him home from the Russian gulag, because of President Trump jumping in there, and it was one of the things I was really trying to push. That was a huge sense of accomplishment on that day.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on working so hard on that. Again, another bipartisan effort, but you led the charge on that. So that was great, Senator. No doubt about it. And then, of course, you also introduced a bill on term limits, something you promised to do during the campaign. And that was also something you did in your first 100 days. And I agree with you 100% on this. I think it's the right move. I think it's the right time. Now is the time to do this. I think the support is there. So I'm glad to see you doing it.
Yeah, listen, that, you know, for me, I guess maybe it's because I'm a private sector guy, but the idea that someone would be in this role for 20, 30, 40 years, I mean, it's the opposite of what our founders had in mind, Rich. Our founders thought that you'd have blacksmiths and doctors and farmers and lawyers or military men that would have a chapter of their life to serve. They never imagined there'd be career politicians. So I promised during the campaign I'd introduce legislation. I also promised that I would term limit myself no matter what, which I will do. But somebody said to me, you know, the term limits are 12 years, so 2 for the Senate and 6 for the House. So 12 years is the max you can do. And somebody said to me, but in 12 years, you'll just be getting seniority. You'll just be figuring out how to make a difference. And I said, good God, only in Washington would people say you got to hang around there in the swamp for 12 years before you can actually make a difference. So I'm excited about that. I do feel like there's good support. I would have to say the response in Pennsylvania, which was unbelievably positive, was much more positive than the response in Washington. Right. It landed with a dud, I think, among some of my contemporaries here. But I'm going to push that because I think it's what's right to get to really reform Washington.
Senator, when you're looking at President Trump's first 100 days, let's talk about DOGE for a second. How do you think that's going in terms of the cuts? In terms of making some of those cuts permanent, particularly with regards to foreign aid, et cetera, where do you stand on all that?
Well, listen, I 100% support President Trump's desire to rein in government, rein in the bureaucracy. I thought DOGE was a very smart way to do that, because what you're trying to do is essentially create transparency so the American people can see what they're investing in. What are their taxpayers going to? They don't really, most Pennsylvanians I know don't want to support LGBTQ operas in Costa Rica or something like that. That's not what people want, right? It also showed where there's opportunity to reduce costs. So I'm 100% support of that idea. There's an important point that I try to make when I'm back in Pennsylvania, which is Elon Musk, and he's becoming less involved, but Elon Musk is not making those cuts. Elon Musk and President Trump made this very clear in a cabinet meeting. The cabinet secretaries have responsibility for implementing the cuts because they have to own the outcome, whether it's Veterans Affairs or Department of Agriculture and so forth. And so that's what's happening. And, you know, I've talked to Elon about this. When you're making big changes, which we have to do. Everybody talks about these. We got to cut costs. It's all very incremental and they don't do anything. When you make a big change, you're going to make mistakes. If as long as you recognize you're going to make some mistakes and you correct the mistakes, no problem. And you just have to have a mechanism for doing that. And that's one of the things that I think's happened. And I think DOGE is getting better at, like in Pennsylvania's case, the Department of Agriculture, they cut some bird flu experts. You know, well, as you and I spoke about, Rich, we got a bird flu epidemic. It's slowing down now. We lost 2 million chickens in Pennsylvania. That's a big deal. It didn't make sense, but the bird flu experts, right? We need them. So as long as you fix mistakes. And then the second thing about DOGE, we got 60,000 federal employees in Pennsylvania. Listen, we grew the federal workforce by 400,000 people under Joe Biden. We've got to cut the federal workforce. We got to eliminate a lot of those jobs, but we should treat those people with respect, with gratitude. They were serving all of us. Even if their job's going away, we should thank them and wish them well. And so, you know, it's tough to, it's tough to cut jobs, and it's tough to reduce costs. And the people that served in the federal government, you know, there's some of them that were doing bad stuff, but most of them are just good people trying to do the right thing for America. So those are the two additional things I'd say about DOGE. But I think it's been fantastic because it's like foreign aid is a good example. There's things in foreign aid I agree with. I agree with investing to combat China in developing countries around the world. But it's like being at a fancy restaurant. If you lift up your plate and there's a cockroach under there, you don't trust anything in the restaurant from that point forward, even if the rest of the food's good. We now have seen the foreign aid budget is full of crazy stuff that the bureaucracy was supporting. So I don't think we should have a lot of trust in those programs. I think we got to go back and scrutinize where it's in America's direct interest to invest to combat China. Where do we want to have American generosity to stop starvation and things like that? And where is this money being spent wastefully or wistfully in a way that most Americans wouldn't support?
Senator, before I let you go, and I appreciate your time today, the big, beautiful bill the president was talking about, and this is where we began reconciliation. And again, I want to remind everybody, you had a great visit yesterday at the shipyard. Real big investments there for Philadelphia and the building of ships right here in Philadelphia, which is fantastic. So that's a real great announcement. Where does the one big, beautiful bill stand vis-a-vis reconciliation?
Well, listen, it's a work in progress. Yesterday, there was a meeting at the White House with the president, with Majority Leader Thune and Speaker Johnson, Scott Bessent. I've talked to Majority Leader Thune about it. I talked to Scott Bessent about it. I think everybody feels like there's a lot of alignment at the leadership level about what needs to happen to bring the reconciliation bill to together. I think the big question is right now, what's happening right now is the different committees in the House are coming forward with their plans. Their cost reductions. They're doing that in coordination with the Senate. And I think Speaker Johnson's working hard to try to get a vote on that reconciliation bill by Memorial Day. And my guess is the Senate will take it up soon after. And I'm hopeful that long before we go into the August recess, we'll have a vote on a reconciliation bill that the president would support. And that would be a great, great, great achievement. You know, there's a lot of alignment on what to invest in. And extending the 2017 tax cuts, investing in the border, investing in defense, things that are pro-growth economic policies. But we also have to reduce cost. And in many ways, just slow the growth of government, which is spiraling out of control. The Government Accountability Office estimates, which is a nonpartisan thing, as you know, Rich, it's no political agenda. Estimates $500 billion of waste, fraud, and abuse. So we got to find a way to get to that cost. We got to do it surgically. We can't cut benefits of people that we promise things to. We can't cut benefits of vulnerable people, but we do have to get rid of the waste, fraud, and abuse and slow the crazy growth of some of these programs. And that's what we're going to try to do.
Senator Dan McCormick, always a pleasure. I appreciate coming on the show. And again, it was great to see you and Dina yesterday.
Remind me of your son's name, Rich.
Patrick.
That Patrick was a pretty fired up little Eagles fan, wasn't he?
He really was. He really was.
It was great to have him. He'll never forget that. That was amazing.
It was great. And Dina, your wife, was so nice to him. She's like, "You are such a handsome young man." He was blushing. It was so cute. So it was great. So
well, he's got great parents. Good to talk to you, Rich. Have a great day. Thanks, you.
Thanks, Senator. Appreciate it. All right, when we come back, President Trump is speaking right now on his 100th day in office. We'll jump to that live for you. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, coming right back.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. We lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
So, as we continue along here today, President Trump is speaking right now to the Michigan National Guard in Harrison Township, Michigan, and he's talking about the Air National Guard as a pillar of self-defense as well, of air defense. I'd like to jump in here for a few minutes and hear what the president has to say as he's addressing the National Guard, so let's take a listen.
As Commander-in-Chief, I'm proud to announce that very soon, we will replace the retiring A-10 Warthogs with 21 brand-new F-15 EX Eagle II fighter jets, the best in the world, and fresh off the line. Brand-new. And they have an expression, you know what that means, fresh off the line. That means they are brand new. They've never been anywhere. This is where they're going to be for a long time. And I saw one of them flew over my head, and I said, what the hell is that? That plane has serious power. So this is the best there is anywhere in the world, the F-15 EX Eagle II. This will keep Selfridge at the cutting edge of Northern American air power. My administration will also continue with plans to replace the outgoing KC-135s and KC-46 Pegasus aircraft to continue that important refueling mission. And they'll be restocked with brand new top-of-the-line refuelers. For generations, the men and women of Selfridge have always been here, and they've always been for us. Whether you're Republican or you're Democrat, they've always been for us. They've been for America. And under the Trump administration, we're going to be there for you. The previous administration was willing to surrender Air National Guard fighter units across the country by retiring aircraft that were not being replaced. We are replacing. But under the Trump administration, we're correcting that injustice. And that starts right here in Michigan, where we have a big commitment to Michigan and to the state, even beyond this. This is an exciting time for the United States military. Since November, enlistment numbers for every branch of the armed forces have surged. Recruitment is now the highest it's been in 39 years. Now, if you remember that, you better hold on to those jobs or somebody will take them. Somebody will take those jobs so fast. Hold on to those jobs. Don't leave that job. Who would have thought? Because prior to November 5th, which is Election Day, I was hearing that recruitment was so bad, it was so impossible, it was hard to get people. And this goes not only for the armed forces, for the police, for firemen. People are proud of our country again. Big difference. But we had the worst numbers that we've ever had virtually. We couldn't get anybody, and now we're overstocked. We have waiting lists of people wanting to sign up and be with the military. They're proud of our country again. And I'll be supporting a record-setting $1 trillion investment in our national defense. We're going to go $1 trillion, the largest in the world, largest ever in our country, but no other country's invested that much. We have a $1 trillion budget for military this year, and we have tremendous plans, including increasing the scope of Selfridge. And I recently signed an order to begin construction of the Golden Dome Missile Defense Shield to protect our homeland from missile attack. We're going to call it the Golden Dome. We had the Iron Dome, but somehow, Gretchen, Golden Dome sounds better to me. I don't know. Maybe it's not. What do you like better, Golden Dome or Iron Dome? What do you like better? Golden. Let's have a vote. Golden Dome. Oh, no. I think we're in trouble. Oh. Jeez. How about the Iron Dome? Good. Keep it nice. Good. Because we made all the changes already. It'll be a little bit tough. Even the renderings look very golden, look beautiful. No, it's going to be incredible. The latest and the greatest. A lot of it's going to be made in Michigan. A lot of it is going to be made. The Golden Dome. You know, other countries have it. In particular, Israel has it. And we have a much more advanced, and theirs is very good. We helped do it. We did it. But we have an advanced version now that really is incredible what it does. We had a case study of 169. Out of 169, every one of them just shut down. And I think we're entitled to it, don't you? I think we're entitled to it as a country. America's military will soon be stronger and more powerful than ever before, and Selfridge Air National Guard base will remain at the center of the action. And I just want to say we're building some of the greatest submarines and various other ships, but submarines in particular. We have a monopoly on great submarines. We're building the greatest in the world, most powerful machine ever built. And we're doing some things that are just incredible. In one way, you hate to do it, but in another way, you really have no choice. And we're fighting very hard on the China front and the Russia front with Ukraine and what's happening in the Middle East and a lot of good things. You're going to be hearing a lot of good things. It's a shame. When I left office not so long ago, we had no wars. We defeated ISIS in 3 weeks. It was supposed to take 5 years, they told me. Sir, it's going to take about 5 years. We did it in 3 weeks. Raising Cane, he's now your top, you know, he's your top person. He's the head of the Joint Chiefs. And I did that because he was the one. He said, sir, we can do it in 3 weeks. I said, 3 weeks? They told me 5 years. No, sir, you can do it in 3 weeks, sir. And I said, let's see if you can do it. And he did it. He had a little time left over, actually. And ISIS was gone, totally defeated. And he's the man we wanted. That's the man I said, if I do this again, I'm going to put that guy in charge, because he did things that nobody else was able to do. And nobody else even thought it or even suggested. So I'm very proud to have him head up the whole military operation, along with Pete and some other great people. So I just want to say that Michigan, it's been my great honor to be here. I've had tremendous success in Michigan. Not all Republicans have, but I have. And not just this time either. We had tremendous, we did tremendously well in 2020, and we did incredibly well in 2016. In 2016, they said it couldn't be won. You know, it couldn't be won, but we won, and we won by a lot. So it's a special place, and I don't forget. I don't forget my friends, and Michigan's been my friend. And I want to just thank everybody here. I want to congratulate you, actually, because there are a lot of people wanted this to happen to their neck of the woods, but it's happening for you. So congratulations, and God bless you all. God bless our military, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Congratulations, everybody. Congratulations.
Okay, there you go. The president speaking. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth with him, with the National Guard in Michigan. We'll hear from the president later in the show today as well. At 6 o'clock, he's going to give his address on his first 100 days in office. But actually, the defense secretary is speaking, so why don't we take a listen to what Pete Hegseth has to say right now.
Restoring the warrior ethos inside our formations, for rebuilding our military, reestablishing deterrence around the world, and making Americans proud to wear the uniform. That recruiting surge we're seeing right now is because they know they have a commander-in-chief that has their back. That's my message to these men and women every single place we go. All I ever wanted when I was in combat was to know that my commander had my back, no matter what. And with Donald J. Trump, that commander has your back. And that means something to the men and women of America, and that's why we're seeing a record surge in recruiting. That's why we're locking down our southern border. That's why our enemies know we mean business, because we have a commander in chief that has our back, and he has the back of this base as well. God bless you all. Thank you.
Jump out before we have to listen to Governor Gretchen
Whitmer. Well, I hadn't planned to speak.
Okay. We'll hear from the president again later in the show today. The big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaVanaria, VanariaDental.com. It's an interesting alliance with Governor Gretchen Whitmer up there with President Trump. She clearly wants to run for president in 2028. She just said something very quick and walked off the stage. But I'm surprised she didn't put a bag over her head like she tried to cover her head last time before she was seen around President Trump. Okay, One of the things I wanted to mention to you as we're looking at the first 100 days is a peace deal with Russia and Ukraine. Can it be possible? Can it happen? When we get back, I'll tell you what the president had to say about Russia and why Russia is now saying that they're going to have a 72-hour humanitarian pause on any strikes against Ukraine. Why this matters to all of us and how different it would be if Kamala Harris were in the White House right now. As we continue along the show here on our first 100 days, just a reminder, Politics and Pints. 1 week from today in Phoenixville at the Colonial Theater, go to 1210WPHT.com and get your tickets today and do it now. I also want you to think about your summer vacation, okay? Because now's the time. Now is the time to make your plans to stay at the beautiful Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place. You'll love it there. I love the Grand Hotel for a couple of reasons. Number one, they have two pools, one heated outdoor pool, one heated indoor pool. So if it rains, you're covered. Because the worst thing that happens is you go on vacation at the Jersey Shore and it rains and there's nothing to do and you're stuck in a shore house all day with the kids, driving yourselves up a wall. But at the Grand Hotel, that problem's solved for you because you got the heated indoor pool. Plus, the longer you stay, the more you'll get in resort credits for their June midweek stays. So just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com right now and make your reservation. We'll be there live for our next show on June 20th, Friday, June 20th. So why don't you make a plan to be there for the whole week? It'll be a great way to start your summer and have a great summer vacation. And you can lead right into the show on that Friday if you like. You'll love the food at Hemingway's restaurant. You'll love the pool bar. You'll love the oceanfront concession stand. And you can use all those resort credits you get with your stay at all those places. And if you're looking for a place to have a beautiful beachfront wedding or a baby shower, bridal shower, corporate event, look no further than the beautiful ballrooms at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Just call my friend Caitlin to get all the details, and you'll be on your way to having an amazing, amazing time. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
100 days into the administration, and are we close to peace with Russia and Ukraine? Are we close to a ceasefire with Russia and Ukraine? I'm going to play for you what the president said regarding both countries. You know, I would personally like to see this. The president talked about his meeting he had with Zelensky. Had a good meeting, but it's not, you know, we'll see what happens here. So let's cue up cut number 7. President talking about his meeting that he had at the Vatican with Zelensky. They had a sit down together. This is what he said, cut 7.
The nicest office I've ever seen. It's a beautiful, beautiful scene. But he was very, he wants to do something good for his country. Thinks he's doing a good job and working hard. We'll see what happens. It's a great compliment here.
What did he tell you, Mr. President?
He told me that he needs more weapons. But he's just saying that for 3 years. He needs more weapons, and we're going to see what happens. I want to see what happens with respect to Russia. Because Russia has been surprised and disappointed, very disappointed that they did the bombing of those places after discussion.
And then he laid out his demands for Putin, what he needs to see here. And it's very simple. Stop shooting, sit down, and sign a deal. So the guy who's the Russian puppet saying to Putin, stop the shooting, sit down. And now Russia has announced a 72-hour ceasefire. Cut number 8.
What do you want Vladimir Putin to do? Well, I want him to stop shooting, sit down, and sign a deal. We have the confines of a deal, I believe, and I want him to sign it and be done with it and just go back to life.
Mike Waltz, a national security advisor to the president, spoke with Maria Bartiromo about this. Remember the rare earth minerals deal, rare earth elements deal with Ukraine as part of us reaping back the investment that we've made in this country? He says it's going to happen. Cut number 9.
Is the Ukraine rare earth minerals deal going to get done?
Oh, the Ukraine deal. The Ukraine deal is going to get done. The negotiators were working hard over the weekend. Okay. That is first and foremost on both Secretary Bessent and the president's mind. Okay. It's going to get done, Maria. President's Look. Determined to make it so.
Good. Let's hope that that happens. For me personally, this is one of the biggest reasons why I'm glad Trump won. Is because 100 days in right now, Kamala Harris will probably be giving a speech about how we have to double down on Ukraine, send them another $100 billion. There would be no push whatsoever for a ceasefire. There'd be no push to get both sides of the table. Certainly, she would not be telling Russia to stop shooting, or she'd be saying it, but she wouldn't actually want that to happen because the Democrats wanted this war to keep going. They were never interested in facilitating peace. Remember, I contrasted that with their approach to Israel, which is that they said to Israel, this is how you have to fight. These are the parameters. This is what you have to do. They were micromanaging the war that Israel was fighting against Hamas. When it came to Ukraine, it was do whatever you want. Just keep taking the money. Do whatever you want. And that's because they were owned by the military industrial complex, and the military industrial complex was reaping the windfall of all this. 100 days in right now, Kamala Harris would be prepared to give a speech tonight explaining how we will never abandon our friend, Ukraine. We'll be in this for the long haul, whatever it takes. And that would be the policy of the United States of America versus 100 days in, Russia agreeing to a temporary ceasefire and the president saying, I want you to stop shooting and come to the table. I understand Zelensky wants to protect his country. We have to work out a deal here. We have to get peace. That contrast alone right there is more than enough, in my opinion, to justify President Trump's election. More than enough. Just that, leaving everything else alone, everything else aside, just that the contrast right there between these two. And by the way, had Nikki Haley won the presidency, Nikki Haley right now would be speaking about doubling down on Ukraine and our investment in Ukraine, and we'll be there for our friends. And this war would go on and on and on, because the money would keep flowing. You know, what gets Ukraine to the table is that fact that it's not going to forever. All right, quick break. Coming right back. 30 minutes in Nonstop Talk.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.